And finally, we have Delroy Brown of the National Black Caucus.
Good evening. Let me start off by sending my apologies for Lee Jasper and Dave Weaver. They tried to be here tonight, but because of unforeseen circumstances, they couldn't be. But let me start off by saying I was asked to actually address you just late on this evening, so like David Cameron, I had to tear up my speech. Right? Back of the envelope. Right? But let me start off by saying something. In my day, the definition of discrimination was in terms of the views that one held. The definition of racism was the ability of one to implement those views. But I think that's important because you've got to think to yourself, this person, Craig Cox, does he have the power to implement his views? That's the key aspect. Does he have the power to implement his views? Does his views matter in your body politic? Can he impact on your life? Now, I'm old, but I'm not old enough to remember another time when science was put up by people living in this country. And those signs were, can you remember? No blacks, no dogs, no Irish. At least those people who put the signs up looked through the window and you could see them faces. They didn't open the door. Again, did they actually take account of what they did? But actually, you knew where they lived. Mr. Cox actually put the sign up and doesn't know that he's... What are you saying? Now, either this is a university... And I have to say, this is a university that people had to get good grades to come here. So I presume that he is educated to a certain standard. And he can read. What is above his head? And his intention is to actually amplify the statement, even if he didn't read it, even if he didn't write it. His intention was to amplify it and put it in the public arena. That it was a view within the body politic of this university. Now, I agree. I do agree that people mustn't run around and actually make up corporate noise in the way of actually your unruly crowd. That's not the way of this place here. I think we should actually look at the institution and we should implement the rules, right? And we should enforce the fact that we have got a right as students, black and white, to say we're offended by what has happened, and we take cognizance of the weight of the statement that has been made. And we should say as well that it is not part of the culture of this university. And we should actually make those who actually stand behind and defend the culture of this university to basically make a statement to say this is not acceptable and this isn't part of the university that actually is educating the students of today and the decision makers of tomorrow. Because this culture don't want to have people like that making decisions that affect other people's lives in the future. That is not the acceptable way. I think that it is an important and timely statement that Mr. Cox has made, because it actually says something about the position of black people in this country. And it's more poignant that it actually does it at a university, because you, the black students here, are going to be the thinking masses of tomorrow's world. You've got to ask yourself the question. For this man to say what he says and offend you, and yet he can feel that he doesn't have to have no real remorse. He can actually treat it as a flippant statement, and it has no consequence for him. It was a joke. Put it aside and let's get on with it. Really? It's really a joke? It's really that flippant? He doesn't understand the history of black politics, he doesn't understand the history of black slavery. It never happened. I remember in the news just a while ago, I think yesterday or the day before, that some Australian got actually arrested in Britain to be sent to Germany for Holocaust denial. Well, I suppose there wasn't any Atlantic trade. I suppose 50 million black people didn't die in the Atlantic, didn't drown, wasn't thrown overboard, wasn't chained up. I suppose nobody really did anything. It was a virtual game that we played, and the consequences was that some people just actually died. Right? But it does say something about those of us who are learning and what we're learning, what is important. Right? The fact that not many people can actually call an African name from Barbados, from St. Lucia, right? From Haiti, from Jamaica. The fact that not many people can call a name of someone who stood up and said, this is not right, says something about the roots of education we're talking about learning about ourselves and the position we hold in this world. As well as, says something about our contribution to history. Because I think that we have to begin to ask ourselves a question. Who has taken ownership of the story of slavery? Who is championing the efforts and the bravery of those slaves who actually brought down slavery through their efforts, who actually died in their attempts to bring down slavery, who made slavery and who made the plantation system uneconomical to run? It wasn't a liberal workforce. If those slaves hadn't, revolted, they would still be here today. And I have to ask myself the question though. If Mr. Cox really knew what he was really doing, if Mr. Cox really knew what he was calling down, what spirits he was calling back, I wonder if he really knew. Because, I'll say it this way, then the Duffy, letting Carl back, he wouldn't have time to put his hand down. Everything would chop off. And if you want me to translate that, I shall do that. I don't think we're proud enough of our ancestors. You know, I don't think that we know enough about the deeds of our ancestors to actually really say, bring them back. Don't bring back slavery, but bring them back. Make them be an example to us. Make them show us what they did in order to actually survive the Holocaust, because they had no help. Actually, America didn't come into the war to save them. There was no alliance to basically stop what was happening in the death camps, which we call plantations. When we had mothers whose belly was actually slipped open and the baby pulled out, to create the psychology of fear, there was nobody around the corner with a tank and a rifle shooting at the plantation owners to actually make them stop. So I wonder if Mr. Cox really understands the people who survived that kind of treatment. And actually, I as a black man is a reflection and a testimony to the fact that because of him, I am here today. He could never shame me. In fact, he didn't deserve a box in a certain respect. But the problem basically, that's not the body politic. Because the disrespect is so fundamental. It cries down to the very core of our being that this man could actually want to see us go back to the deprivation and the subhuman treatment. And the fact that I even use the word wrongly because I use the word human. The sub-chattel treatment. I wonder if he realized the consequence of what he's really saying. That he could then turn around and say to you, you are a human being? Because in his very statement, he's not calling you a human being. He's calling you a chattel. He's saying that you are a puppet. In the American states, when they're making their voting charters, their voting lists, an African was counted as 3/4 of a person. Now, which one of you here, put it down please, is 3/4 of a person? That's his name. The 3/4 of a person. And it is still alive. Because it still hurts. And the reason why it hurts individually is because neither one of you understand what the real story was. Neither one of you actually own the story. If I call out Husserl, 1816, the uprising in Barbados, he led it. Died on the battlefield, trying to free those yesterday for today. And his effort still resonates because of him. You have survived. You are here today. All of us. But don't think I'm talking about just the black students here, because in truth, when you look at the suffrage that's taking place in England and what ordinary white people are doing. It's not about, it wasn't about people's morals and people basically saying that they didn't care. People care. And it wasn't a black and white issue of blacks were on one side, whites on the other side. Actually, humanity was the key issue here. It was an economic thing that basically logically made money for some people on the suffering of other people. But also it was a psychological thing that basically denied an individual their human rights. Because of the colour of their skin. And it was justified by all the major institutions of the church. It's the saying that these were heathens who actually were not seen by God and therefore didn't have a place in the eyes of God, and as such needed to be saved. That was the justification. But the reality was money. That was reality. Now, we can say, do you want to create the politics where we begin to have a debate that takes us back to that position? The question will be, who will become the subhuman? Who will be the 3/4 person? And does this university want to be known as a learning institution that actually initiated that discussion, that debate? Does the university want to be known as an institution that thought that acceptable, that this was something that we tolerated? Not. It has far-reaching consequences. Just like I can look back at historical figures in the past and actually see what role they played, what principles they had, what they stood for. Same way in which others will look back at this university and say, what role do you play? Mr. Cox said he made a mistake. I say Mr. Cox made a statement. Mr. Cox was presenting himself as an individual. I say it's like an iceberg. If you look at the top, you may see an individual, but if you look beneath them, you'll see an organisation. And it's that organisation that's actually trying to stir up the oxygen of publicity to create fear. The psychology of fear is very real. The psychology of insecurity is very real. To be born in a place where you actually know no other place. To be of a generation where there was a generation before you. So therefore, you cannot jump on a plane or jump on a ship and actually go back. Go back where? Islington? Radford? Sheffield? Go back where? So if you can't go back where? You have a situation where you have insecurity and fear. Powerlessness. And I think it's this powerlessness that is being created. That is the impact of Mr. Cox's statement. The fact that's where he has the power. You're not sure. You're not sure who to trust. You're not sure who to depend from, you're not sure who to get advice from, you're not sure where to go. And this is your most precious time. This is the time when you as a student should be soaking in all the influences that will make you a human being, and a decision maker, and a leader for tomorrow. He wants to blind your future. He wants to make you a three-quarter person. Because automatically it takes you back to that point. As I said, I did tear up my speech, so I'm going to cut it short. I just wanted to actually, I mentioned some people already. This is Black History Month, and it's timely that we're talking about people of the past. Now I want you to associate some of those things I've said with those people of the past. Because actually, you know, today we're not talking about standards and time, we're actually talking about body politics that's been injured, that's been insulted, and assaulted as well. But your heritage is that individuals have had to face this themselves. Today you have the advantage of yourself as a student, black and white, feeling the insult that has been made, feeling injustice that has been created. I want you to basically decide as a body politic what your final position is, and where you will not go beyond. Because at the end of the day, it is important for you to lay down the fundamental ground rules about what is your learning institution, and what is your learning environment, and what is correct for you. You weren't given your place here, you actually worked for it. And every one of you is proud to come here because it's a good university. And I see it as a good university as well. And it should maintain its reputation as a good university because it upholds values that you respect and others respect. Thank you very much.